exciting.
The plan is, yes, we're starting Siman Pei Vav, Rosh Hashanah. Not a very long Siman. And Siman Pei Vav, I'm going to put a lot of words on the screen. You shouldn't read them. You can read them if you're really bored. The first 12 halachas talk about how to know if you have an egg in front of you, like for the pictures in the corner there, if you have an egg in front of you, how do you know if that egg is kosher or not? Okay, you have no idea what bird it came from, but you want to know how you know it's kosher, so that it has all kinds of things about it, and I'll tell you about that a different time, that maybe 2 times from now, how you would know if you look at the egg whether it's kosher. But that's because you're in an unusual situation where you're walking in the forest and you pick up an egg and you don't know what it is. Is it kosher or is it treif? So you're trying to figure out whether it's kosher or treif. But the more typical situation is that a person doesn't just have an egg, they have a bird also, and the bird laid the egg. So they're going to decide whether the egg is kosher, depending on which bird it came from. And they have the bird in front of them. Okay, so that's in Siman Pei Beis, to decide how you know if the bird is kosher. Okay, Siman Pei Vav is heading off it. All kinds of halachas about eggs being kosher. But it's really starts from Pei Beis of knowing that the bird itself is kosher. So if I'm going to do 2 times, this time and next time, Mirtz Hashem, about just understanding whether the birds are kosher, which of course plays into whether the egg is kosher. And then we can actually Siman Pei Vav itself. Yeah, I'm going to tell you about that. Okay, so it's going to be two. It's going to be twice. Okay, so what is like this? the Torah lists twice, but the Torah lists 24 birds that you're not allowed to eat. Okay, the Torah doesn't tell you which birds you are allowed to eat, or simanim them to know whether the birds are kosher or not kosher, but rather the Torah lists you off 24 birds that you're not allowed to eat. Now, the truth is, there are really only 20 birds listed in Torah. Okay, there are really only 20 birds that are listed in Torah. But the Gemara says that for 4 of those birds, it says this bird and its min also, like as ha'ayah lamina, as ayir laminoi. It says for 4 of them, it says that there's a min to that bird also, and that's to be marba another 4 birds that are also aser. Okay, so there's 20 birds that are actually listed. And then there's 4 birds that are understood. So there's a bird called Nates, and that bird is Aser. And then there's a bird that's close enough to the Nates that it's called Liminehu, but it's not a Nate. It's not really a Nate. So it's an extra bird. Okay, it's like in it. One type. Now, I'm going to tell you in a second. Each bird doesn't mean only one bird. The word Peres, it means more than one bird, but one type of bird. But so Nates, Liminehu means Nates is one type of bird, and Liminehu means a little bit separate from that. It wouldn't exactly be a Nates, but it wouldn't be something totally different. It wouldn't be a duck. It's something in between. It's close enough to a Nates as a Nates Liminehu. Okay, so now,
you don't know what's close enough to what to know what's what.
I'm going to tell you that in a second. Okay. That's correct. You're 100%. But the Torah is telling us that that's what's going on. Okay, so now these birds, the Gemara gives translations, I'm guessing it's Aramaic, of a bunch of them, because like what they are in practice, okay? What the Gemara gives translations for a bunch of them. It tells you that bird means this thing. This thing means it like gives you like a translation into. And the Gemara tells you what 2 of the laminoids are, okay? But it doesn't tell you what the other 2 are, okay? So I'm not really sure how a person is supposed to know 24 birds, because there's such a thing as a person who knows 24 birds. The Gemara doesn't even tell you what the other 2 laminoids are, okay? It tells you the laminoi for the Oiriv and the Nates, but not for the Ayah and the Anafa. So I don't know how you're supposed to even know what they are, because the Gemara tells you, again, some of the regular birds it translates, and some of the, and 2 of the laminoids, the Gemara talks about what they mean, but the other 2 laminoids doesn't say. You're up the Rambam says, okay, this is all 24 birds, and for 2 of them he says, and the min of this one, which is what the Gemara says, and for the other 2 he just says, and another one, that's the min of that thing. He doesn't tell you what it is. You're like, sort of like clueless what they're supposed to be. Okay? But and
Rambam says, we don't know.
Then he just says, the min of that thing. Another one that's a min of this thing. For some of them, for the Oiriv and the Nates, he says, this thing, which is the min of the Oiriv.
That's a species, I guess.
Right.
Species that's close to it. If we knew all the birds, you'd know which one it is.
But the Gemara doesn't even, it's odd. The Gemara tells you for 2 of them what the min is, but for 2 of them doesn't know. Like I said, I don't know how you're supposed to know that. Okay, fine, now. But to show the complication of figuring out what these things, so to speak, really are, what birds they really are, is that the first one, the Nesher, which the Gemara talks a lot about, the Nesher, okay, it's the paradigm of a treif bird. We'll talk about that in a second, the Nesher. And Tyson says, you know, lots of people think that Nesher means an eagle. He says, and it's not true. Okay, and Tyson says, I don't think that Nesher is an eagle. Because, as you're going to see in a second, there are four simonim that are associated with kosher or treif birds, four different ways the simonim can be, and the Gemara says that an esher has all the simonim of being treif, and Tosfos says that it's not true. Eagles are missing at least one of them, one of those simonim, they don't have a simon of being treif. Okay? So what that means is everyone thinks the word nesher, most of us think that nesher means eagle, and Tosfos says that's what lots of people think, he says, but it's not true. Okay, so people came up with another idea, that nesher means griffin vulture. Okay, the only problem is that they only think that because that they say, well, it's not eagle, so it must be something else. It's griffin vulture, but Rabbi Sufkin says, yeah, but griffin vulture also doesn't have the four simonim being treif. So you didn't gain anything better by making it into a griffin vulture rather than being being an eagle. You didn't gain anything. So all of these, this machlokes is all over the place. All these birds, which what they mean. So I'm going to give you some groups that are in there someplace. Exactly where they are is not always so clear. Bats and falcons and ostrich we actually talked about once before, it's a basiana, owls and pelicans and raven and stork and vultures, but exactly which bird is which one is very vague, it's lots of machlokes and lots of questions about those things, okay? So the Torah doesn't tell us how to know which is which bird is treif. There's a Ron who talks about it, he says, wait a second, there's only 24 treif birds, so then you should go bust a rife. If you find a bird or you find an egg, you should say bust a roi. And the Ron has three tzurtzim. I'm not going to tell you what they are. Three tzurtzim the Ron has about why you don't follow the roi, why you don't go bust a roi, just to say most birds are kosher. Okay. The Gemara but says that there's a... What did you say?
You don't go bust a
roi. You don't go... But if nobody knows it... No one knows the 24 birds. So you look higher. That's what Ron talks about. Ron has three tzurtzim for why it should be. The Ron doing in Chul. Okay, so the Gemara says there's a way to figure out whether a bird is kosher or treif. Okay, and the Gemara does it by comparing what I said to you about a nesher to a doiv. I'm sorry, to a dove, not a doiv. So a nesher, the Gemara says, so if you look at these two, a dove has all four kosher simon, four simon that are one way, a nesh has the exact opposite, and by that I can tell you that, I mean, every treif or kosher bird doesn't have to have all of one or the other. But it tells you this, that there are simon that tell you about it, and the nesh has all the simon pointing to being treif, the dove has all the simon of being kosher, and other ones in the middle, the Gemara explains to you how many each one of them has, how many simon of it has. Okay? So the first one is, these things are brought in simon pibet, that if the bird is a dyrus, then it's not kosher. Okay, what is a dyrus v'oichel? What does dyrus v'oichel mean? It means it's like a savage bird. The Beis Yosef has four pshatim as to what dyrus means. The two that are brought in Shulchan Aruch, one is a taz. A taz says that it means it eats the prey before it's dead. Okay, it dyrus v'oichel meaning when it's dyrus, when it grabs the thing, it eats it, I mean, it didn't die yet. It's dyrus, it's eating before it died. That's a taz pshat. That's what taz learns. Is what dyrus v'oichel means.
That's a pshat.
Dead.
It holds itself on the legs.
So the other pshat, so the shach brings from Rashi, which is that it holds onto things that are, no, the other pshat, Rashi is a different pshat, about picking things up. The shach brings a pshat that it attacks things with its nails, okay, it attacks things with its claws, and some of that's how it kills them, whatever that means. Okay, the Shach says that the Shulchan Aruch in other places uses that, what Darius means in Hilchos Treifos, so that's what it says means. Okay, so if the bird is a Darius, it's for sure it is treif. Okay, what happens if you don't know if it's a Darius? So the Shulchan Aruch brings two ways to know that a bird, two things that prove to us that the bird is a Darius. Okay, the first is, if the bird, when it sits on a thin wire, does it sit with two fingers in the front and two fingers in the back? Most birds, if you look, you'll see most birds sit with three fingers in the front and one finger in the back. But if it's just with two fingers in the front and two fingers in the back, there's a fancy name for that. It's called a zygodactyl, okay, in case you're wondering. So it has two fingers in the front and two fingers in the back. That's a simon that it's a dyrus. Okay. And the second simon is that if you throw food at it and it catches it and eats it without putting it onto the floor, it just catches it in the air and eats it straight, that's another simon that it's a dyrus. Okay. Those are two simon that it's a dyrus. Okay. So now what happens is, you know, if it's not a dyrus, there's three other simonim to tell us whether the bird is kosher or treif. Okay, and they're like this. The first one is the etz b'yisera. Okay, so this is etz b'yisera. Etz b'yisera. An etz b'yisera. It's from the Encyclopedia Britannica. I didn't make the pictures. So there's a machlokes what it means to be an etz b'yisera. Either an etz b'yisera means is that it has an extra toe, literally an extra toe, which means is that in the back it has a toe. Now, in these cases, I'm not great ones of it, but the toe in the back is a little lifted up, or it's not in the line with the rest of the toes that are there. Okay, it has an extra toe. These are not great pictures of that. Or the other side is that the middle finger in the front is longer, is noticeably longer than the other ones, which most of these are. Okay, actually, the osprey over here, I'm sorry. This osprey over here, this has two fingers in the front and two in the back. I don't know if you see that. What we said before, in fact, sitting with two in the front and two in the back, this osprey is an example of that. But some of the other ones, if you look at it, like this one, this New World Vulture over here, his middle finger is much longer than the other ones. So that's, according to some, is an Espies here. For your curiosity, Prichadish wants to say that the reason why people, the machlekes, whether an eagle could be a nesher or not, may depend on this shaila. What does an Espies here mean? If Espies here means extra long in the front, or Espies here means something in the back. Okay, so there's one simon is if it has this extra, I mean literally an extra finger, it may be called a hallux in English, or if it means that it has a longer finger, that the middle finger is extra long. Okay, like you look at the one on the bottom left, that finger is not longer, the middle finger is not longer. Okay, all four fingers look barely the same size. Okay, that's one. The next is if it has a zephic. Okay, what's a zephic? A zephic is many birds can eat food and not digest it right away. It doesn't go right into their stomach. It goes into this pouch called the zephic. It's over there, in case you can't see where it says, a crop, okay? And it's like an extra little pouch. It has it, it's in the middle of its throat or neck, I don't know what you're going to call it, the bottom of the neck, and food just sits there. Okay, so food sits there and not being digested in there. So a bird that has a zephic is a similar being kosher if it has a
peel.
What?
It's not if it's peel. It's peel.
We'll come to that in a second. No, that's not the zephic. That's the next one. So a zephic is, if it has this extra piece here, it's called in English a crop, a zephic has this extra pouch.
A dove doesn't have a crop.
What do you say?
A dove doesn't have a crop.
It does. It's a similar being kosher. It's in being kosher. Most birds have a
chicken there, see?
Right, there's a chicken. Yeah, most birds have a zephic.
Yeah.
Most birds have a zephic. There's a shilas. There's a college about that also, about how big the zephic has to be. Some birds don't actually have something that looks like a zephic, but the food just can collect there anyhow. Okay, all kinds of shilas. What qualifies as a zephic? Okay? But in this case, that's a little pouch over there. That's a zephic. So what happens is, in this case, it's a chicken. He can eat, and then digest it as he wants to, which is very good for before fast. Like, you know what I mean? You can just take in the extra food, and when you're ready to, you let it out into your stomach. Okay? And the third simon is that it has, before I go to the slide, I'm going to show it to you on this slide, is it has a korkovan that can be peeled. Okay, so yes,
that's similar to kosher?
Kosher. A korkovan that can be peeled by hand. Okay, where's the korkovan? The korkovan is in English, is a gizzard. You'll see it in the slide in a second.
Gizzard.
A gizzard, it's called. That's over here. And that is like this. Before I go to the next slide, you'll see what it really means, which is that birds don't have teeth. Okay, so when they eat food, they don't chew it up. So what they do is they just eat the food, swallow it, as is. So what happens is, their stomach has two parts. One part is the part where the digestion happens. It's called the proventriculus. Okay, that's this part over here. That's where, like, what happens, like, in your stomach, that the juices come out and that digestion happens. But then there's another part, the gizzard, which has another name, some ventricular thing it's called, where over there, that's where the bird grinds up the food. You can't digest big pieces. So the food passes back and forth between these two parts over here, back and forth between them in the gizzard. In the gizzard, the korkovan, or the pupik in Yiddish, the pupik, in that part is where the food gets ground up, and then it gets passed back to the other part where the actual digestion happens. Okay, it goes back and forth between those parts. Once it's all digested, like in your stomach, then it moves on to the intestines. Okay, so this korkovan, the korkovan has two layers. On the outside of it is a muscle. That's the part that does the grinding. And the inside is a layer that's like a tissue-ish layer. You'll see in a second. And so if you could peel those two layers apart, biyad, you know, you don't need a tool. Just by hand, you can peel them apart. So then that's a symbol of a kosher bird. Now, I was about to ask someone at a shechita to make me a picture of it. Just make me a video. Just have the guy being peeling the korkovan. Because it's not hard to do. So could make me a video. But on a whim, I decided, you know, maybe there's somebody else who already made a video of it. So I found the guy. I don't know why this person made it. It's not like a firm person. You think a firm person made it? No. You'll see the video in a second. You'll see him being peeling this corkworm. Why he made the video, I haven't a clue. Because if a corkworm could be peeled the two layers apart by hand, that's a symbol of a kosher bird. That's a symbol of a kosher bird. Okay? This is a corkworm.
Where'd you get it?
They're similar to the ones that were that are upstairs, only they're been laid out here in the garage at package room.
You can ignore the shackles.
Sounds like
something.
I love
it. Once you get a hold of it, I can get a hold of it.
Okay, so if you notice also the green stuff that I cleaned out, that's actually a shiloh and pleskin. You may have to clean it up before melicha. We do that. Indeed, we do take it out. It's a shiloh and pleskin. That green stuff, which is ground up, sort of digested food. What?
You probably won't even need it anymore.
Who doesn't eat it?
Nobody.
Kurkavans?
Oh,
yes, they most definitely do. People definitely eat kurkavans.
Kurpitz?
I don't know. When I was at the shechita, they were buckets and buckets of them. Someone's buying them. Kurpitz? I don't know. People buy them.
Salami.
Okay. No, not the salami. No. It's kurpitz. Okay, so it's not as is. Okay, so they clean out the... Yes. That's correct. The green stuff is a shining thing you have to take out before Malicha. But anyhow, so we take it out. You just saw the guy you saw the guy peeling the kurkuman. So that's a simon of a kashubar. Okay? So the Gemara says, and the Gemara gives rules of if you find a bird, how many simonim you have to know if it's kosher. The Gemara says the ones with a few simonim don't live in town, don't live in habitable areas. So the Gemara tells you how you can use these simonim to figure out if a bird is kosher or not kosher. Okay? But then the Gemara tells a story that there was this community that ate a certain bird, Tarangotota, the agua, I think it's called, a bird that they ate, and they found that after a while, they didn't realize that it was a dervish. After a while, they realized it. So it sort of like shook them up. The Gemara tells us the story. The Gemara doesn't say that therefore you shouldn't follow the simonim. But the Rashi brings that later on a minhag developed that people should only eat a bird that has a maserah to it. They should not be samech on these simonim. Hagam, the Gemara says it, and Shulchan Aruch brings them. But the Shulchan Aruch then means that there's this meaning that people only eat birds from the serve. We're not samech on the simonim. There really are simonim to know. If it has this many simonim, you can eat the bird, depending on the situation. The Gemara, but the thing we say is, a person can only eat a bird with a simon. Okay, now.
With a serve.
Now. But then, the Shulchan Aruch says, that Rishonim said, this is not a Gemara, that said, that this. If you could be sure that the bird is not a dervish, then you could eat it even without Masara. What is that example of that? Is if a bird has webbed feet and has a wide beak, those are what I just described in the duck. Okay, if it has those kind of things, it has webbed feet and a big beak, there's no way that it could be a dervish. So you don't have to have this chash that maybe it's a dervish and you're just missing it, you're somebody you don't know. Then if it has the right amount of simanim, then you're allowed to eat it, okay? And the Mechaber is like that. The Mechaber in Halacha Bayes says that you have to have a Masara. He brings a simonim, and he says, but even so, you can only eat bird if it has a Masara. But in Halacha Gimel, he says, but if it has a wide beak and has a webbed feet, that's a duck or a goose, those kind of birds, if it has the simonim, you don't have to worry that it's a dervish, it's kosher that it's not a dervish, and you could eat it. Okay, that's what Machaber says.
Having the simonim mean not necessarily all four.
So that's a shayla. How many simonim? I'm not talking about because the Rama. Let me just finish the sentence. And you know why? The Rama says we don't care. We don't not tell on that. Even though the Machaber brings from it's from Rishonim. He says in general, he says you cannot rely on the simonim. He says, but except in this case, where it has the wide beak.
But that's how turkeys get accepted.
No, well, turkey will be next time. Okay, but so.
Do you have any Masara on the waterfall?
What do you say? No, right, so according to the Mechaber, if it has webbed feet and a wide beak, then you can use the simonim. Then you can use the simonim. In which case, almost every duck and goose and swan will be kosher. Because that's what they have. They will have the simonim. They're all similar to that, yes. But the Rama says, no, we're not similar on that. Even for those birds, we need a Masara also. Okay, so the Mechaber brings a simon because then you get to the duck cases, to those kind of cases, but Sardin can eat based on just that. That tells you it's not a dervish, and then you look for the simonim, and the Rama says, no, we can't do that. Okay? Okay, so now, so we're Ashkenazim, so where we go with Rama? No, Shaitan, I'm going to tell you this time. I have more to say today and next time also. I'm not finished. Give me a minute. So the we have to only eat birds of the Masara. Okay? So there's two questions to talk about having a Masara. Okay? And next time, Mir Tashem, we're going to talk about some examples of these things. And as it is. If we say that I have a Masara that a bird is kosher, let's say chicken is kosher. Okay? So how... I hold a chicken in front of me, and this is the chicken that we've been eating. It's been him and his children and his grandchildren have been living in my backyard for 100 years, and we know that this chicken is kosher. I have a Masara that this chicken is kosher. Why don't they have a chicken that's a little bit different? Okay, what, how big is my Masura? Like in the 24 birds that we had beforehand, those don't mean one specific bird. It doesn't mean all type of eagle. It might mean all of the eagles. Okay, so how much is the bird that I have being kosher? How much is the Masura? This is a kosher bird. How wide is that Masura? Like, for example.
So can you say the point of the simanim is what's the point of the simanim if you need
it? The simanim is if you don't know what the bird is. The simanim is you're walking in the forest and you see a bird and you have no idea what it is. We don't do that, right? So we need a Masura.
So we don't even care about the simanim at all.
Right. So
and what if we find a bird that we thought we had a Masura is.
It doesn't have to have all simanim. That's a gemara. So how many simanim each bird has to have? Only a nesher and a dove have to have all the simanim. The other birds in the middle don't have to have them all.
So we don't really care about simanim.
Except for Darius. Being Darius, that's like an overriding one. If you find he's a Darius, then he's no good. So, for example, the Zaki Tshuva has a zillion chinas. Okay, maybe that's an exaggeration. Okay, only a little bit, but the Zaki Tshuva has a million chinas, which was like this. Let's say, for example, let's say had birds that were basically the same, but they had a different colored beak, or a different colored leg, or a different colored skin. Is that the same bird or is not the same bird? What happens if one was a little bit bigger than the one we used to, or its neck was longer, or its legs were longer? Okay, how close does it have to be to mine to say it's the same thing, or it's not in my Masura? What happens if one has feathers on his neck, and the other one only has feathers on his legs, and not on his neck? Okay, what happens if they have a few differences, or they have a lot of differences? Okay, so there's a million truths in Dakichu, a million important Dakichu about this, and it's very not clear how to know whether one bird, this is the same bird or this is not bird. Okay, but you read Chaim Lucky, read Fanu, you talk to him, yeah, those two are the same. And those two are not the same. And to us lay people, I don't know, how do you know the difference? You know, a bird is a bird, I don't know. But so how much enough is the same? I just got the series he brought, which I'm swiping for now. Chaim Lucky brought who knows how many birds to Rebbelski, and he has pictures of each bird that he brought to Rebbelski, what he said about it, to say, is this the same or is it not the same? You know, talks like Kasha, what about this duck? And what about this one? What about this one? Is that the same as the duck that we have in Missouri or is it not the same? Okay? Now, so that's one. What?
It may.
So, that's what I'm coming to that in a second. That's one type of saying that this bird is the same as that bird. Okay, but another way of spreading it is a Gemara that talks about not about birds but about animals. The Gemara says that a kosher and a treif animal can't mate and produce a viable offspring. Okay, that's what it says about animals, which means is a cow and a horse wouldn't mate and make an animal that would be kosher, that would be a living viable child.
But it's not a horse.
What?
It's not at all what I meant.
Okay.
But I'm saying they think they're the same, so what
are we to do? Oh, so that's another shot, Shachin and Nidma. No, it has to be Shachin and Nidma. Okay, no, but then what says that animals, that kosher and chaste animals cannot meet and produce a viable child? Now, the Gemara doesn't say that. We'll talk about that next time. But then there is, a child is actually born from that. We'll talk about that next time. So yeah, Achrayim talk about, does that Gemara apply to birds also? Meaning, the Gemara says that for animals, that is such a rule. Tyson says, it's not true by fish. By fish, kosher and treif can mate with each other. So, what about by birds? Okay, so for example, that would mean, if it would be true that for birds the same rule would apply, then we open up a big opening over here. Because if this bird is kosher, let's say regular chicken is kosher, and another bird mates that chicken and produces a viable offspring, then that bird just got a Masura. We just spread our Masura to that bird, because if it's true that kosher and treif can't mate and produce something viable, we're going to give you examples of that next time, if they can't do that, then we can spread Masura from one bird to a completely different bird, as long as they can produce a child.
And then if he can mate with somebody else.
Right, we can take our Masura and spread it to other birds, not because it's the same. It's not, so first I said to you, maybe they're the same. Like this one's red, and this one's brown, maybe that's considered the same. But now I'm saying is, if this one can mate with that one, that can, it can mother, I can spread my Masura to the other one from that also.
Spread the Masura, it's a different way of identifying.
To me, if I only have a Masura on five birds, but I can all of a sudden can eat 10 birds, I spread it to more birds, that bird has no shyness to my bird, but through this, that was a way of proving that that's a kosher bird.
You just made a very important point. There's nothing to do with it doesn't make them the same species at all.
Right, they're not. But it just proves that they're kosher. Just proves that they're kosher. Right. But it's taking the Masura I have my little Masura, and I could bring it to other places. Okay? So the Chasam Sofer starts
with... almost against what Rashi said with the halacha, that we only eat birds with a Masura.
No, because Rashi said is we're afraid that the bird, that other bird, is a Darius, and we don't realize it yet. We haven't realized that the bird is a Darius. But if we have a rule that a kosher bird can't mate with a treif bird, then I don't have to worry that it's a Darius. I know it's not a Darius because it's kosher. I have a right that it's kosher. Because
but then that would come out that I can study all these birds.
Right, so then it would open up a lot of opening. So Chasam Sofer starts off saying that he thinks that that's true, that in birds it's true also. The Gemara talks about animals, he thinks it's by bird also. He's not sure in the end. In the end, he's like not so convinced that he's right. The Abnezer says, the Chasam Sofer really held like that was Ikra Din, and the Abnezer himself passes like that.
Really did not hold like that.
That the Chasam Sofer agreed to this. To this kula, that really, what the Gemara said about animals is true about birds also. The Chasam Sofer at the end is not so sure. But the Abnezer says, but the Ikra didn't help like that. And the Abnezer himself says, that's correct.
No one discussed it until Chasam Sofer.
Well, I can't say that nobody, I don't know if nobody did. But people talked about it when they had birds that they had childhoods about. Right. Can we eat this new bird? They said, well, we see that it makes you that bird, and it produces a viable also, so that should be a raya. We never saw this bird before, but it should be right. That new bird is kosher. Okay? So the Abnezer is Mekel. Which, and it's a big cooler. It's opened up 100. Maybe I'll give it
maybe happier
with
the Chasam Sofer back in 18.
Okay, that's what I know. That's what I know. Maybe I'll give it to
but
I'll say, okay, now.
There's no such thing as a bird that we know tomorrow is not kosher for an entire number of kosher birds.
Right. It's very hard to know that a bird is not kosher. To know that it's not good. Not that we don't know. We know specifically that it's not kosher. It's not so easy to find that. It has to be one that we either we think it's one of the 24 birds of the Torah, or we see it's a Darius. There aren't so many trade birds.
Most
birds are just in the gray area. We don't know what they are. Yeah, but the truth is probably most of them are kosher.
The 24?
Yes.
No such thing as one of those
that we know of.
Mating with
that we know of. Right. Correct. That we know of. Well, I should say that Chaim Lucky has told me that we know of. I don't know anything. If Chaim Lucky didn't tell me then. If it was existed, Chaim Lucky would tell us.
If we're talking about 24 species of birds that are there, is that a problem?
No, because the Gemara says that there's one of the birds, I forgot which one, there's a big, in I think in the East, the Gemara says there are 100 varieties of this bird. So again, that you have to know, what is a nate? A nate, we'll pull it to a specific bird. A tinchamas is an owl. Well, how many owls are included in that?
Limited, you know what I'm saying? A pelican and an ostrich are not...
Right.
One is not mid of the other.
I answer it. So, but
if I find 28 separate species like that...
Then you're up the creek. Right. But again, you have to realize, okay, a species is broad. You know what I mean? One of them, I've got which one of them is a bat. I've got which one is the bat. Okay, one of them is a bat. Okay, there's lots of bats out there. What? Okay, which one? I remember. But one of them is a bat. So there's lots of bats out there. You know what I mean? So how many of them are included and how many
look like bats?
Right, but how many are included and how many are not, it's not clear at all, but probably lots of them. What'd you say?
Well,
I probably might mean a specific kind of bat. Specifically, I don't know how many types of bats there are. No, so what I think is, Moshe Rabbeinu held them up, one, the one that's our man, but then he took them the rule. How do you know what's considered white and not white? So when you bang into a new bird, you'll know, I saw the 24, and I know the rules of how to tell what's like and what's not like, and I don't know if this is like or not. Let's say, what the pencil like is your beak. So what do they say? Beaks is how you decide if it's like or not like. So when I see, is this like that? Yeah, but it doesn't have the same beak, then it's not like that. Whatever the rule, 24 plus rules, not 1,000 birds that he held up, 100. Okay, now the second thing is, the second child... The second shaila about getting a Masara, about moving a Masara, is what happens if in one community they eat a bird and another community doesn't have a Masara for that bird. Okay, so the first I talked to you about was I could take my Masara and spread it out. Either because I say this bird is basically the same, or I spread it out because it made to it that helped me spread my Masara. What happens if I have no Masara on this bird? I want to eat a peacock. Okay, in Chicago, nobody thinks peacocks are kosher. But there are other communities that think peacocks are kosher. Okay, they have them sure that it's true. That think that peacocks are kosher. Okay, what?
Well, they have peacocks are kosher. Not much meat.
I have no idea what it has meat on it. But anyhow, so yeah, okay. So there are other people who think peacocks are kosher. So can I? And they come and they take to me, David, you should know that peacocks are kosher. So can I take that mussar or can I not take it? Okay, so now. I don't remember speaking. If I would have, I wouldn't have told you. Oh, okay, that doesn't count. Okay, so the Rush says like this. So the Rush says it's okay to take Masara from a different place, and the Rashi says you can't. Okay, now what I just said to you, the way I said to you so dramatically is that the Rush says you can, the Rush Rashi says you can't. That's how the Mechaber understands it. The Mechaber at the end of Sim Pepe's says like this: it says, can I eat from a different place? Yesh mi. Shoyser. Some people say it's Osir. That's a Rashba. V'yesh mi shamater. That's the Rosh. V'yesh locha shadivri ha'osir. You should go like the Osir who says you can't get from a different community. That's it. What do you say? Oh, I'm quite curious. I'm going to get to in a second. Okay. So that's the Mechaber says you can't, you should follow that people who you're not allowed to take them, you're not allowed to take them, sir. The Shach says, no, it's not correct. Okay. The Shas says, there isn't a machlokes in the Rosh and the Rajba. I feel bad. I should put the words on the screen for you. There's no machlokes in the Rosh and the Rajba. The Rosh says is you could take a Masara. They're talking about different cases. If you see the words of the Rajba, you hear what the Shas is saying. He says, the Rosh is talking about that I have no idea whether peacocks are kosher or not, and it never occurred to me whether peacocks are kosher, and you come over from someplace else, from Italy, and you tell me that in Italy we eat peacocks, so I say, oh, you guys eat peacocks, okay, so now I know that peacocks are kosher, so why shouldn't I trust you that it's kosher, why not, why shouldn't I believe you? And the Rosh was talking about a different case, where we have a community where they had a Masurah to not eat peacocks. Not that we didn't know anything about peacocks. We had lots of peacocks walking around, and we bedavka, the Rosh said, no, we don't eat peacocks in this community. So then, if the person comes from another place and says to you, no, but peacocks are really kosher, then the reason why we now accept his Masurah, not because we don't trust him, we say, maybe our Chacham made like an Isser on it. It's too close to another bird, they say, don't eat this bird. So, the etzem, of course you can take someone else's word that a bird is kosher. If he tells you that it's kosher, believe it, he told you it's kosher. But the only time you can is when you specifically have a minute we do not eat that bird. Like in America, we don't eat. Okay, I'm not going to eat it. Okay. If we had a specific research, that'll be for next time. Oh, I didn't say it's going to be next time. Okay, so we have a Masurah specifically not to eat it, then that's what we do.
But if the reason that we have a Masurah not to is because we never had a Masurah.
No, so then we don't have a Masurah daka not to eat it. We just don't eat it. We don't know anything about it, so we never tried it. We didn't.
Is there anything in America we have a Masurah not to eat?
We'll talk about next time. Okay, so we'll talk about next time. So Ramosha says to Paslet Shach, Ramosha also thought like that, they should Paslet Shach, that you can take a Masurah from another community as long as you don't have a Masurah specifically to not eat that bird. Okay? Now, however, that being said, that's cooler. However, there's a big question, and that is like this. When I want to take a Masurah from your community, you say that you eat peacocks, and now I want to start eating peacocks. So, L'chairo, I have to look into the fact of, how did you guys decide that peacocks were kosher? Like, for example, there are places in Russia that eat swans, okay? And I say, well, if they eat swans, then I can eat swans also. See, wait a second. Maybe the reason why they eat swan is because they pass them like the Mechaber, who held that if it has wide, it has a webbed feet and a big beak, then it's kosher. It's
not based on Masurah.
No, they have the Masurah because for generations they've been eating swans. But how did they decide? Maybe the first day, not because they heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu that it was okay, it's because the Rav looked at the swans, he said, Shulchan Aruch says if it has webbed feet and a wide feet, then you're allowed to eat it. And he decided you were allowed to eat swans. And now, 100 years later, of course we eat swans. So then it's kosher that we eat it to them to have a Masurah that they eat swans. But maybe the Masurah started from something that we don't hold like. Maybe the Masurah is because they passed like one of these Daki Chuvas I told you about. Daki Chuvas has 100 Chuvas of that. Is this bird exactly the same as that bird or not? So maybe their rub decided that it's the same, that this variety is basically the same as that one. That was 100 years ago, so I made that decision on a Shaila, and then maybe we don't agree to that. They base it on, there are lots of Shailas to decide whether a bird is kosher or not. Again, I told you, in theory, we only use a Masurah. But there's a lot of space over here to find that even doesn't have a Masurah, you could sort of get it to be kosher anyhow. So maybe their, so to speak, Masurah comes from a not such a solid place. And I don't mean solid. Doesn't have a place that I would have agreed to. So there was some, and if you look, the Rosh, who I told you, the Rosh is the one who said you can't get a Masurah from somebody else. The Rosh says, but when you do that, be very careful and look into where their Masurah came from. Don't just take it. Okay, the Rosh himself is in a different place. The Rosh himself says it. Be careful how you take someone's Masurah. So you should know. The Tzemach Tzedek says that the because of that, you shouldn't be taking Masurah from other people. In theory, you could.
Which one?
I think, I don't remember when I'm looking at it, I think it's Lubavitch or something, but I might be wrong. I think that's what it is. Says you should not take it because of this pachshash, okay, this possibility. And Rabbi Shechter said, you know, what you should do is you could take it from a place, but as long as they give or take the same as you. You're Hungarian, and they're Hungarian, so then, Mislam, you're Rabban passed in similar ways, but you're Italian, and we're Hungarian, so the Italians eat peacocks, and we come from, I don't know, wherever you come from, Ukraine, I don't know where you come from, and that's not the same, you know, Mahala Chapsat, then you shouldn't take it, but you should know.
I was told
Rosh Hashanah
said you
can
trust the
10 money on Chagavim. Okay, so I forgot to mention it. So Rav Chaim speaks about that. This exactly this part of this all this shines about this. He talks about leaving Chagavim, whether you could trust them Chagavim or not. You probably know that most Ashkenazim doesn't know Chagavim, right? Even though Timon will tell them what they are. I didn't say whether Rosh Hashanah is, but okay. So, but you should. But the Beis Yitzchak and the Maram Shit both say that you shouldn't be worried about the chashash, that maybe they pass based on somebody else. They see each a little differently. One says is it's a sex faker. Suffolk that it might be kosher. In Suffolk, maybe they didn't base it based on something funny like you think. You know what I mean? Okay, and the second is, the other one says, just stop, don't make kosher such thing. If they have a Messiah that's kosher, you're allowed to eat it. And they would say,
you need to do the Simon, right? You need to follow the rules of the Simon.
But the rules of Simon are very weak. What I mean is, you don't have to have all four Simon to be kosher. So, see, as long as it's not a dervish, if you see it in your backyard and you see it's a dervish, you're finished. But the other Simon, okay, we didn't go into details. The other Simon are pretty easy to get past. You know, you don't have to be too worried. Right, you poke around a little bit.
Dina the Gemara, we really got to eat.
Right, okay, so that you're saying that puts us a little more at ease. So that's more how the Ramshuk says. He says, why should it be Chayshish? If they made it based on the thing, why be Chayshish? And the Beis Yitzchak says it more like it's a Svek Svek. It could be, it's Kosher anyhow. Like, you know, it's only a Chum in the first place. So we should be sure. Okay, so that's Emir Tashem, next time we'll talk about some of the examples, some. There's a zillion examples. I mean, I have two Sfarim from Chaimovic, each of them which are hundreds of pages long. Okay, those are not all of his Sfarim, so I can't tell you everything it says in there. I can't tell you everything it says in there, nor can I surely not poke into his brain to tell you everything he knows. But we'll talk about some examples next time.